Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. We talk about retirement being a journey.
Yeah.
And there's lots of people at different stages. I mean, we've got the tail end of the baby boomers getting to that age where they're really going to be moving into retirement. Now, is retirement everything that they've been thinking about? I think that's an interesting question.
Some say it's a big fat lie.
Some say it's a big fat lie. Some say those expectations you have in your head may not be met. Right? Let's talk about that, because I think that is really, it's a really interesting stage of life, fraught with all kinds of dreams of grandeur and romance, and sometimes it's not that. Sometimes it's something else.
Yeah.
Fair?
Fair.
Shelley Freilich is a journalist, an author, and she's joining us. She writes in the 60s column. Shelley, first of all, welcome to the show. Thank you for taking some time with us.
Thanks so much for having me on. And I love the title of your show, More Than Money, because really that's what we're talking about, aren't we?
Yeah, no, it's exactly right. And to that point, you had a great title. It caught our attention to an article. It said, it was Senior Living. It said, don't believe what they tell you about retirement. What shouldn't people believe? Tell us what we shouldn't believe.
Well, my original headline on that, by the way, because I write my own headlines, they change it, which was fine, was retirement, it's all been a pack of lies. because, of course, I had to get the boomer song title in there, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's an interesting thing. I retired at 63, so almost, well, 4.5 years ago. And I had always planned to retire at 65. I, you know, love my job. I worked at the Vancouver Sun newspaper for 40 years, and it was fantastic. But, you know, I had always sort of thought in my head, no, at 65. You know, you're going to retire. I didn't do a lot of planning, I got to tell you, Dave and Faisal. I didn't do a lot. But I sort of had always, you know, I had a good pension. I knew that I had, you know, some RSPs. You know, I have a house. But I just thought, okay, it's the next stage of life. And it seemed to make sense to me. But it was very interesting because when I did retire, I took a buyout. So I went a couple of years early. And was grateful to do that. It was just sort of interesting as I went through the first, you know, couple of years. And I have to tell you, the biggest thing was is that I actually kind of couldn't believe it after, you know, 50 years or so of working, literally waking up every morning and like, I can do nothing today or I can do something today. I don't have a deadline. I don't have a meeting. I don't even have to get dressed. So that took like a year. Seriously, that took like a year or so just to kind of sink in. It was lovely. But it was very strange. It was like, okay, you feel like you're on holidays for the first month, and then it's like, no, actually, I don't have to do a darn thing today. and the other thing that struck me was, you know, I'm a boomer, so I'm right now 67, and I had heard for years and years and years about, you know, pending retirement and the things that you need to prepare for. And one of them was, you're going to need millions of dollars. Well, you know, that's nonsense. You know, you don't. I got some very good advice early on from a friend who said, you know, don't have a lot of debt, maybe buy a new car a couple of years before you retire so it still has a warranty. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, you're probably not going to do much different in retirement than you did before you retired. You know, if you weren't a big traveler, you're probably not going to start, you know, hitting the, you know,
so
Machu Picchu, you know. you might. And if you're going to do that, plan ahead for it. But he said, he told me he was a, you know, an investment guy. And he said, look, you probably won't. You know, don't have a lot of debt. You know, unless you're going to make big, big plans to do something differently, you're probably going to be fine. And he was right. He was right about that. So the whole kind of, you know, oh, the boomers, especially the boomers. It's like we all have this sort of bucket list. We have to do all this stuff before we die, right? Well, like, no, you don't. You know, you don't. Like, you know, if I never make it to Thailand, I'm okay with that. You know what I mean? You know? But it's true. And it's like you've had, there's this sort of weird pressure. I don't know if it's on all generations. I really feel it was on the boomer generation that, you know, you had to accomplish all this stuff. You had to keep working or you had to keep busy. And my brother, who retired a couple of years before me and he's a few years older, said, you know, Shelley, you need to have a purpose when you retire. And I'm like, you know what my purpose is? To do nothing.
So, Shelley, I want to talk about that because you made an interesting point up front about you didn't go in with a plan, right? So this was presented to you an option a couple of years before. So no real plan. And you said, I don't necessarily have anything to do in the morning because I think that can be both a gift and it could be a curse. So I'm really interested in that first 1 or 2 years. Faisal and I always talk about that first two-year period being the honeymoon phase, right, as you're figuring out what retirement means. But I'm really interested to know, you know, because you went early, talk to me about that not having what your brother said. No, there was no necessary purpose. I could just get up and do whatever I wanted. How did that make you feel? What did you do? Was it a gift or a curse for you?
Well, certainly a gift. And I think it's interesting how we define purpose. You know, it's the way that male and females define housework. Two very different things. The guys mow the lawn, the women do everything else. Okay, right. We can talk about that in another show. But it's how you define purpose. And my brother's, you know, he was a senior executive at a very large company. His idea of purpose was you got to get up and do something meaningful that probably has to do with making something or earning more money or, you know, God bless him, whatever that was. My purpose was get up, you know, spend more time with my mom, go spend time with my grandchildren, you know, maybe read a book, which, by the way, you know, I thought I was going to read the 1,000 books I have. Haven't read one book.
Yeah.
Just saying. Haven't read one book. You know, it was more, you know, it really is a yin and a yang thing in many ways, I think. And, you know, my purpose was to get up and just, you know, just not do anything. Revel in the fact I really had nothing to do. And I had earned the right to do nothing, right? So, you know, I had a routine. I worked at home for years. I wrote a column for The Sun for years. And I would get up and go out, take all my newspapers, real live newspapers, and go have coffee at the local coffee shop. I still did that. So I still had this kind of rhythm to my day. I just didn't have a deadline. I didn't have to file. I didn't have to answer to anybody. And so, you know, a gift or a curse? Absolutely a gift. And, you know, other people, my friends, some of my friends got part-time jobs. Some of my friends did more volunteering when they retired. You know, maybe they did more exercise. Like, that's the furthest thing from my mind ever. You know, I never thought I was going to get a gym membership, and I didn't, right? So I basically stayed the same, except I didn't have, you know, this job, right? And I think that you need to be prepared for that and not feel bad about it. Like, people say to me, I got so many emails from across, my column runs right across the country, right? I got hundreds of emails, and 99.9% were from people saying, oh, thank God, somebody said it out loud. I don't have to feel guilty about not doing anything in my retirement.
That's
and
interesting.
And by not doing anything, you know, they could go golfing every day. But then it was like nothing. Somebody decides that's not a meaningful way to spend your retirement, I guess. But it was interesting. I was actually surprised by that response, that so many people said, this is exactly what happened to me. I had all these plans and I had all the pressure to do stuff. And I really just want to get up and maybe just garden and have a cup of tea. And guess what? I might watch my soap opera. Yeah. Like, just and not feeling bad about that, because I think there is a generational pressure.
I think you're right, Shelley.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think you're on that point there, where there is, if you look at what's on movies, what's on commercials, the definition of retirement is either you're doing something, you're going somewhere.
We all have to sail.
Or
sail. We all have to sail. Yeah.
We have to have our drinks on the beach.
Yeah.
We have to golf.
Yeah.
Right? And God forbid that you just do absolutely nothing in your home. Right. You'll never see a commercial. And we're in the retirement business. I don't think we would ever have a commercial on TV that shows two people just chilling at home, having a cup of coffee, and that's what retirement is, because that's nothing to aspire to, because you're already doing it.
Exactly. But, you know, I aspired my whole life and my career, and I did that, and now it's time to not aspire. Somebody should do that commercial. You guys should do that commercial.
There you go. Not
right?
Yeah,
it's
I like
all
that.
Commercials. You're like right. That. It's all these commercials. People
just
are
stealing,
and, you know, the guys are taking Viagra. And, you know, it's like this whole, again, I call it kind of this generational pressure. And, I mean, what a great pressure to have. Like, nobody's complaining, right? But for those of us who, you know, are okay in retirement, many our age aren't, so you have to sort of feel for them. But, yeah, I just think that, you know, you got to be you, you know, to coin a trite phrase, but, you know, and not sort of take on all this stuff. I have this conversation with my brother all the time. He'll phone me and say, what are you doing? I'll say, Randy, absolutely nothing. And he'll be like,
he's just horrified.
He'll be like in his woodworking shop making a bed or something. I'm like, what the hell? Just relax.
Oh, that's fantastic. Shelley, we have to leave it there. Thank you. Entertaining, but I think really informative, too, about, you know, those first 4 years of retirement, sort of the journey, what you've been through. I hope people are listening to that if they're planning what their retirement's going to look like and free themselves of some of that guilt. Thanks for all your input and a terrific article.
Thanks for having me. Take care.
All right. We've been joined by Shelley Frelick, who's a journalist, and she writes Life in the 60s column. And clearly has lots to say about the whole process of moving into retirement. What about our seminar?
Yeah, this is interesting, because when you're transitioning to or living in retirement, what are you transitioning to?
Right.
But more important, how do you protect all that lifestyle that you want, no matter if it's sitting at home having a cup of coffee or doing whatever you want to do?
Right.
You just want to make sure that you've got that protection of that income for life. So we just call it Bulletproof Your Retirement. That's going to be on Tuesday, October 20th, 7 p.m., live online. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
Thanks for joining us for another edition of More Than Money on 770 CHQR. We look forward to chatting with you next week.
David Popowich and Faisal Carmelli are portfolio managers and investment advisors with CIBC Woodgundy in Calgary. The views of David Popowich and Faisal Carmelli do not necessarily reflect those of CIBC World Markets Inc. Clients are advised to seek advice regarding their particular circumstances from their personal tax and legal advisors. If you are currently a CIBC Woodgundy client, please contact your investment advisor. CIBC Woodgundy is a division of CIBC World Markets Inc., a subsidiary of CIBC and a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada.